Verse number 19, I will preach fast if y'all will listen fast. I imagine you've heard folks say that before, because I don't know about you, I would like to get to the ice cream. That's really the only reason that I came tonight. So I know that's what you're all thinking, so I'm just willing to say it. So take your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 19. And the Bible says, and the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the testimony and the experience of these young people, God. We thank you, Lord, for that testimony of salvation, God. And Lord, we ask that you would move and work and continue in hearts, Lord, as young people had fun and enjoyed fellowship, but that they heard the Word of God, Lord. And we know that your Word, when it goes forth, it will not come back void. And we know it is that precious seed, Lord, that we are redeemed by, God. And I ask that you continue to do that work. I ask that you'd speak to us this evening, and we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Can anybody guess what I'm preaching about tonight? I'm going to talk a little bit about the camp. And again, too, I had a specific, as we talked to Brother Hayes, told me we were going to do these camp testimonies, and these thoughts began to roll through my mind. And I want to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm not talking about the camp that y'all just went to. I'm not speaking good or bad about that. I've never been to camp. I always want to go to camp. I didn't start going to church till I was a little bit older. They didn't have college and career camp. That probably would have been, like I said, I don't know what that all would have been consisting of, but you would have had to have a lot of people, a lot of chaperones keeping everybody separate. So I've never been to camp, but I wanted to look at these verses here. And again, too, I think there's a great lesson contained here in the Scripture. I think there's a great lesson contained in all the Scriptures. But even though I want to be a little bit tricky, when I went to college, and yes, I went to college, I know that's hard to believe that. Here's the only thing that I learned when I was in college, and I talk about this all the time. You can ask my wife. I learned about strengthening neural connections. When you can learn a subject and you can take as many other things and bring them into that same subject, that strengthens the neural pathways that I guess are in your mind. There's all kinds of things they tell me that are up there. I don't know if I believe them or not. But as you make more and more connections, then those things become stronger and deeper, your thoughts and your knowledge of that thing. And it ought to be that way with the Word of God. We ought to be conversant with the Word of God. So we're talking about camp and camp, camp, camp. I'm going to say camp, 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 and then bring in some Scriptures. And hopefully then when you think about Scriptures, you think about camp. When you think about camp, then you'll think about these Scriptures. And that's how we help us to memorize God's Word and hide it in our heart. You know, topical Bible studies. And again, when you take a topic and then you begin to memorize the Scriptures on the topic, it strengthens all those bonds. And I believe that people, again, like I said in my prayer, that's how people get saved, by the Word of God. And that is what the message that we take to a lost and dying world. And you, the Bible, I said in earlier, I think in Sunday morning or Sunday school, about the Word of God being like apples of gold and pictures of silver, a word fitly spoken. When you're talking with someone and you're conversing with them and a subject comes up, then the Holy Ghost of God can bring a Scripture to your mind that you've hid in your heart, and you can then use that to be that word fitly spoken in that person's life. That's why we got to learn the Scriptures and take the Scriptures, and that's really my key aim when I preach, is to be able to bring people through the Bible as we look at topics and we look at words and we look at these things, so all those connections are strengthened, and then we as a body of believers are able to use the Word of God more effectively, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people who we reach. That's my goal. That's what I'm after this evening. But it says this, and the angel of God went before the camp of Israel. So the angel of God was before the camp, and there's all kinds of talk about the angel of God. Some people say it is Christ, or the other, at least if not Christ himself, a picture of Christ, but he's before the camp. And again, you're familiar with this story. This is when they were going out of the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt, and they had this camp. And God went before him. We know as a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke and those other different things. But here in this situation, then he goes behind them. And I thought, man, if you got the Lord in front of you and you got the Lord behind you, you're pretty well covered. And that is where we ought to camp. We ought to camp behind the Lord and in front of the Lord. We ought to allow his righteousness. The Bible talks about being compassed about with his righteousness, the righteousness of God to encamp us. That's what we ought to do. And I think that's why we have things like children's camp, and that's why we have youth pastors, and that's why we have RU, and that's why we have Sunday school. Opportunities for us to kind of strengthen the camp. Have you ever watched some old cowboy movies? And I know most of y'all are too spiritual to watch anything like cowboy movies, but what they do, they'd circle the wagon. And they would circle the wagons and encamp themselves against the enemy, against the arrows that were coming against them. Those are the opportunities that we have. We know the nation of Israel was in, what do they say, a rock and a hard place. They had the Dead Sea on one side, and they had the armies of Egypt behind them, but they had God all around them. And exactly like was true for these people, it's true for us today. If you're saved, born-again Christian, God's all around you. He's going before you, and he's going behind you. And we just need to trust in that and to remember that and rely on God to give us the victory, and he already has. He won the victory 2,000 years ago when he made a show of them, those powers, and say he made a show of those things openly, the Bible says. He's gone before them, and he's going then behind them. And verse number 20 says this, and it came between, again, speaking about the angel of the Lord, which was that pillar. That pillar then was in front of them, leading them on the way. There's an enemy attack coming. That pillar, that angel of God decided to get behind them to defend them. And so then what is it? It's between. And what is it between? And it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. There was something between Israel, the covenant people, and they're the covenant people. We're a covenant people. Again, too, we can learn and type from the nation of Israel. There ought to be something between the camp of Israel, the camp of Caesarea Baptist Church, if you will, the camp of us as individual believers. There ought to be something between that camp and the camp of Egypt, which is the type of the world. And that something, the only thing, is going to be God. There ought to be a separation. I wrote a little note in my in between because they're on two different lines. I wrote the camp of Egyptians. I underlined it. Below that, it says the camp of Israel. Over off left to the side in the margin, I wrote verses. Because it's the camp of Egypt versus the camp of Israel. And God was in between those things. Why was God in between the camp of Israel and the camp of Egypt? Why was he between them? Because he wanted to keep them separate. And we'll see as we go through the lesson what happens when you don't keep those things separate. But that was why God was between them. And again, too, that's why we have biblical standards about our dress and about our music and what we watch and what we don't watch. And we're led by the Holy Ghost about those things. Because those things then separate us from Egypt. And I don't know about you, much like an Israelite, sometimes I yearn for the leeks and onions. But then when I really get to thinking about it, I don't miss the old brickyard. I don't miss the slavery. I don't miss the bondage. And again, too, those fleshly desires, I need God to keep me sometimes from how foolish I am. I want God to keep me from Egypt. I want him to keep me out of that camp and keep me in this camp where I belong. And it's the power of God that does that. God stands between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And you know what, my friend? That's where God stands. You can't stand there. And that's where I think like a lot of Christians are trying to stand, in between the two places. And I believe in this day and age, as our world rapidly degrades, you're not going to be able to be in between two different camps. You're not going to be a little bit of Egypt and a little bit of Israel. You're not going to be a little bit of the spirit and a little bit of the flesh. You're not going to be able to be a little bit of the world and a little bit of church or a little bit of faith. You're not going to be able to do that. The world's rapidly changing. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 16. And this is right before the giving of the Ten Commandments, which we see in Exodus chapter number 20. And they were encamped and they were waiting and they were told to prepare and to be ready. And here's what happens. Excuse me, verse number 16 says this. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now this is the camp of Israel. They've gotten away from Egypt. They've gotten through the Dead Sea. Again, that's a picture. It's a picture of baptism, a picture of a couple other different things. It's a picture of entering into this Christian life. And now they begin to hear, and they begin to hear God speak, and God's preparing to reveal himself to them as the lawgiver. He's about to give them the law. He's about to say, and it's the constitution for the nation of Israel. It is how God is going to rule his people, how they were to be a light to the Gentile world, how the Lord Jesus Christ will reign during the millennial kingdom. He's laying this down, and he begins with this noise, and the camp trembled. There was a fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And they were trembling and preparing to hear from God. And I feel like so often we come and we say that we want to hear from God, but we've not prepared ourselves to hear from God. And I want to encourage the young people. And again, too, I think we need a lot more preaching in this day and age against things. I hear a lot of preaching for things, but we need to hear a lot of preaching against things and maybe put a little bit of the fear of God back in some of these young people's hearts so they don't end up like the mess that a lot of us are in. And a lot of people won't preach these things because they didn't tremble and they didn't fear and they didn't listen to God and they made the mistakes and they made the bad decisions and they think that they can't preach those things. Or you can't come into a church and preach those things because you'll hurt about half the congregation. You start talking about things like divorce and right relationships and TV and you'll make everybody so upset. I ain't real worried about making people real upset. I'm real worried about not instilling a fear of God into my children and the children that God has made me accountable for as a preacher and then answer for that. I'd rather not answer to God for not preaching what I'm supposed to preach and put a little bit of fear of God in people than answer to somebody who's upset because of something that I said out of the Bible. I'm not worried too much about that, but I'm worried about our kids. These kids, we just saw them singing the songs and talking about camp and talking about the Bible and talking about these things. We ought to get scared because this world wants to devour our children. And your grandchildren. It wants to emasculate them. It wants to turn the boys to girls and girls to. They don't want no separation between Egypt and Israel. They want to drag Israel back into Egypt. They want their camp to be in their camp in the lowest common denominator. And like I said, our flesh wants to go there anyways. But we need God in between us. And for God to be, we ought to fear God. It says here, verse number 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Now, it's interesting because we see a shift here. Like I told you, there's the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and God was between them. And now God's preparing to meet with them, and he brings them out of the camp. They got brought out of that camp to meet with God. And again, as we look, and you'll see this thought develop, it was interesting. It kind of even surprised me a little bit, the kind of the direction that this is going to go, that these folks were brought out of the camp. Sometimes I feel like we get too comfortable in the camp. And again, too, it also talks about an individual responsibility. The whole nation stood before God and met before Mount Sinai. But he brought them out of the camp. He brought them out of that, I believe, that national identity of that, out of that corporate identity, and that they individually then accepted the law, and then they corporately accepted the law. I just kind of believe that's kind of how God seems to work. And it's not your church membership, and it's not your church attendance, it's not because kids and those of you who've placed your kids, it's not because your kids went to this Christian camp or because they go to Sunday school. Or they always make that joke about having a drug problem. My parents drug me to church and drug. That ain't going to make no difference. Just coming into the camp isn't meeting God. And a lot of times kids get brought into the camp, but they're not then going out to meet God. And there's a reason why sometimes you got to get out of the camp. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 17. They got to get out of the camp because that's what God told them to do, to meet with him. And again, too, I believe even though it was a large corporate national event, I also believe that it was a very personal thing for those individuals there. But here, in Exodus chapter 32, verse number 17, it says this, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And I'm assuming that you're familiar with your scriptures. You know, this is just shortly after Moses went up on the mount, got the Ten Commandments, and came back down. And they thought, man, what in the world's going on? They heard, it probably sounded like that camp they were at last week. I mean, that was probably quite a noisy affair. And they're all this ruckus. And Joshua, he's getting all concerned. And he said, man, there's a war going on down there. And he said, And Moses said, I don't think that's what it is. He probably said, no, that's just the contemporary service. That's a lot of these churches. That's probably what this is about, just their contemporary service. You know, these new churches with their new music and their new putting on and they're dancing around and they got their idols, their golden calf, and they're naked and they're running and being wild. And man, like I said, sounds like one of these churches. I don't know what you call them, the Cross Fellowship River. What I mean, all these new goofy things they got out there. Sounds like one of those places. You say, that's not very nice. I'm not intending to be very nice. Because now what they've done, God brought them out of Egypt. God made a separation. God stood between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. God then even brought them out of the camp of Israel, said, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to tell you exactly who I am. And you really ought to be afraid. We really ought to be afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I know that goes contrary to a lot of things that we hear today in the script, but you really ought to be afraid. It's a fearful thing. But now what had happened, who's in the camp? Egypt. The world. That's where they got that idea for that calf. They didn't think about that on their own. I know that's the way Aaron told it. I just threw the gold in there and that happened. We think, oh, these things just happen. That's just the way of our world. That's just the way our call. No, my friend, that stuff's from Egypt. From Babylon. It's wickedness. It's wickedness with the music and the dress and all the different things that we see in our society, the increasing immorality, calling good evil and evil good. I mean, all you got to do is turn on any news channel. It's insane. Now Egypt's in the camp. While Moses and Joshua were outside of the camp meeting with God. See, the camp wasn't the answer. And again, too, just getting folks in church, just getting yourself in church, just getting your kids or your grandkids in church, it ain't the answer. And I'm going to show you what the answer is. Moses, then, he came down. And it's interesting, too, because Moses stood in the gate of the camp. This is in verse number 26. And said, who is on the Lord's side? He didn't go in there and he didn't try to get along with them and compromise and straighten out and say, well, this is just how we're going to reach this generation. Well, this is just the new world that we're living in. And this is just the time. And this is, I guess this maybe, you know, at least they're hearing the gospel. At least they heard the law. Yeah, they're running around naked and worshiping false idols and doing who knows whatever else. But hey, at least they heard God's law. At least they're lined up the way that they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be lined up different ways. They had rules and at least they can do that. And that was a problem in nation Israel. They had their temple and they tried and they did some, but they filled it with their idols and all other kinds of foolishness. And how'd that work out for the nation Israel after they were out of the camp and became a city and had the temple? Didn't work out too good for them real time. If you don't know the story, read the book of Jeremiah sometime. Didn't turn out real good for them, mixing all that stuff. Ain't going to turn out real good for us, mixing all that stuff. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? And like I said, I believe that that call, that question, could become a very real question. Maybe in 2021, that'll be the new thing. Who's on the Lord's side when they're coming with their guns and their whatever and their, who, you on the Lord's side? Ain't that what some of them school shooters and some of these people who have received persecution all around the world put a gun to your head and say, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Who's on the Lord's side? He said this in verse number 27, he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. So here's what Moses said. He said, if you're on God's side, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put on your sword and you're going to have to go kill. And this is what the Bible says, not an allegory, not a metaphor. You're going to have to go kill those people who aren't on God's side. Now, I've not found a New Testament verse yet, and I'm a New Testament Christian that has given me the permission to kill anybody yet. So I'm just going to make a what we call a devotional application here. I think I need to, and that's what I do through preaching. I think that's what we ought to do as believers. We ought to go and we ought to get a sword, a real sharp one, 1611 Damascus steel, I believe is what this one is. And you put it on your side. And like I said, you hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against God. And some of you fathers and some of you husbands, you need to take this old sword and you need to go through your home. And maybe there's some things that aren't on the Lord's side and you need to cut them out. Maybe some of you are in leadership in different roles in the church. You need to get into the Word of God and cut some things out. Take your Bibles, turn to 33, Exodus number 33, chapter 33 and verse number 7. It says this, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that was without the camp. So now they're meeting with the Lord outside of the camp. The camp had gotten so mixed up in Egypt and all those other different things. And I know it can be a little confusing. I don't think it's the tabernacle. He's not been given the directions on how to build that yet. I just believe it's another tent, which tabernacle is a fair word for that. And that's where he met with God. The place, and I'm not telling you again, too, like I said, sometimes it gets difficult when you're preaching, looking at types. You think, well, you're telling us to get out of church and get out. I'm saying, no, but we got to meet with God and not rely on the camp and not rely on what we think is what's important to God. We need to get into the Word of God and find out what's important to God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And I find, I really wish, I say this all the time, I often challenge people, how would the preaching be if the preacher spent as much time in the Word of God as you did? And sometimes, I think that's the problem. I think some preachers are spending much time in the Word of God as some of the folks are. And we're not spending time outside of the camp meeting God, and then we come into the place and we don't strengthen, we don't encourage people, and it's just a bunch of nothing. And then the loss comes in, and there's no experience, there's no power, there's no Word of God in our hearts and overflowing. It's none of that river of life that Jesus Christ talked about. It goes on here, Moses, he was far off from the camp, down in verse number 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Moses had to go back into the camp. Moses spent time with God, and he goes back into that place to be a minister and to be a leader and to be a help and a hope and a guide to those people. That's why we got to get alone, spend time with God. And you can't just live in a... I wish sometimes I could live in a monastery. Sometimes I think about founding a Baptist one. My Amazon wish list I was telling you earlier, I'm kidding you not, first thing on it is a robe. I tell my wife all the time, I said, this is it, I'm buying a robe. I said, I'm just going to buy this robe and walk around and be a preacher and grow my beard real long. And I'm just giving up. That's what I'm going to do. I just really don't like wearing a suit, but I just want to go live in the wilderness and talk to God and all those other different things and eat berries. That's what I'm going to do. I was telling Brother Hayes, I ate a cicada the other day because John the Baptist ate locusts. I thought maybe that would help me be a better preacher. I thought I'd try. It didn't help any. You say, I can tell. But it wouldn't do y'all no good, and you'd say, well, you ain't doing no good anyhow, but it wouldn't do you no good if I was living in a robe out in the woods eating cicadas. That ain't going to be a help to nobody. That ain't going to help the inmates. That ain't going to help the folks that it is that God has given to me to minister to. We got to come back. But I like this, and I think there could be more preaching on this, but I won't. He said this, he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I think if you're a young person, you should spend some more time in that tabernacle. I think Joshua had the right idea. Moses had a job to do and had some things to do. And again, too, I've even said this with some of this coronavirus stuff, with some of the delays and some of the furloughs and some of the people being in different situations. It'd sure be a good time to spend in the tabernacle. Be sure a good time to be spending time with God. Take your Bibles again. Now turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and I'll be done. There's more stuff that I want to talk about. And again, too, the book of Leviticus often talks about outside the camp, and it talks about it in relationships to the offerings. There's a sin offering. The Bible says, talks about in, Leviticus chapter number 4. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to have to assume you know a little bit about the sin offerings, or if you don't, you can look it up a little bit later. But they would take a sin offering, they'd take a bullock, and they'd sacrifice it, and they'd take its blood, and then that blood was offered as a sin offering. And then that bullock, all of the other parts, it wasn't like the burnt offerings and all the other different, you could do a great deal of study and talk about all the different offerings, but that old bull, that old sin offering, the blood is what was taken to the altar, and then the body was outside the camp. It was burned outside the camp. They didn't eat it, they didn't save it, they burned it all. Scooped it all up and burned it. It was outside the camp. It was cast out. And again, too, that's where lepers were put, and that's where trash was put, and that's where garbage was put, was outside of the camp. And we find someone else outside of the camp here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse number 11. The Bible says this, verse number 10, we have an altar whereof they no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. And that's what I was just telling you about. They didn't eat that. They didn't enjoy that. There was no benefit for the priest, for that the one who made the offering. It benefited them nothing. It was for a covering of the sin. It didn't benefit the Lord Jesus Christ anything when he died on Calvary's cross so he could take his precious blood to that altar which is up in heaven and present it to the Father to atone for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered without the camp, and that's what the Bible tells us here. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He was outside of the gate. He was outside of the camp. And again, too, there's even some different things that you can look at with the place where the crucifixion probably happened. It was outside of the gates. He was cast out. He was cast out for you and me. He was treated as that sin offering. He was treated as waste, as garbage, as those. He was cast out. And then again, too, like I said, he died on Calvary's cross and he went to hell and he paid the price and he rose again. He made a show of those powers openly. That's what Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was outside of the camp for you. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I want to say this in closing, especially again to you young people. We talked about the camp and how God had separated the camp of Israel from the camp of Israel, the camp of Israel from the camp of Egypt, stood between them. Israel decided to bring Egypt back into the camp. And again, too, I could preach a whole long time about all that. And then Moses and Joshua give us a type and give us a picture of them being outside the camp and fellowshipping with God and in. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus, I want to preach about Pharisees and all that this morning. That's what I want to preach about. I got to go find somewhere else that I can preach at. I want to preach about all those things. Because too, sometimes I think, and especially listen to me young people, I'm talking to you, the camp, you think that you come to camp, you think that you come to church, you think you do these things, you dot your Christian I's and cross your Christian T's, and you think, that's not where it's at. It's about that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find, and if you've been in church any length of time, you can even find, even as a grown adult, sometimes you want to step outside of that camp and be with Jesus. All the other camp ain't necessarily going to agree with you. But I would much rather be with Jesus Christ bearing the reproach. Then again, too, like I said earlier, not saying things that need to be said because it might upset somebody. Not having a standard in my family because it might make somebody upset, or somebody might look at me weird, or whatever it is, whatever the light reproach that I have to bear as an American Christian, which is the lightest reproach in all the history of Christendom, any reproach that I have to bear to be closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and outside of that is much, much better than being in the camp. If I could just have every head bowed and every eyes closed again, just have a brief time, an invitation. The invitation is certainly this, that you would accept that suffering, that reproach that the Lord Jesus Christ took on your behalf. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your person, maybe you say, I've been in the camp a long time. I've been coming to church and I've been baptized and I've done this and I've done that. That's not what's going to save you, my friend. It is that blood of that offering that was offered outside the camp, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted that offering as an atonement for your sin, you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. And I invite you to settle that tonight. Talk to the preacher, one of the men of the church. Take a Bible and show you how you can do that. And like I said, Christian, I believe more and more as this world, our country, rapidly degrades, we're going to find ourselves outside of the camp bearing the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may even cost some of us our very lives. But the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly worth it. And if he's worth our lives, he's worth a little bit of reproach. He's worth a little bit of mocking, a little bit of disdain. Like I said, 21st century Christians, we have the least amount of reproach that I've been able to find in all of Christian history. I invite you to do your business with God.